The scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning in verse 25. John 16, beginning in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, and begin reading there in verse 16. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
We write above the sermon, Christ with his church. Christ with his church. How? And how not? And how long? Very easy for you, my dear children. Christ with his church. How? How not? And how long? Dear congregation, these last words which the Holy Spirit gives us in the Gospel according to Matthew are very, very precious. The whole world is precious, of course. And when we begin to love the Lord, we begin to love his word. And when the Holy Spirit is beginning his good work in our hearts, all what's of the Spirit, we love. We trust. There comes a unity between your heart, when you are born again, and the Holy Spirit begins the saving work, and the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. It attracts you. And you feel till in the deepest of your heart, it's true. It's of God. I can trust it with my whole heart. But some words have a special place in our hearts. When we know the life is Christ, we are living Christians, living with the Word, in the Word, by the Word, there are special texts, portions of the Scripture, which the Holy Spirit applies to our heart so wonderfully and powerfully. Especially when we are in time of need, of temptation, and we sometimes can be so down. And we read the Word, we hear the Word, and we feel by grace the power of it. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. The Lord gives his church here a command. Go ye. What kind of people are that? Fishermen. They did never learn any foreign language. They had no worldly education. And when they spoke on the day of Pentecost, everybody was surprised. Are they who speak there all Galileans? Despised people, not able to do great things. But now is there the Lord, and he enables to do great things, the greatest thing which can happen in the world. For I think that nothing is so important in this world as the sound preaching of the gospel. For when the gospel is preached in the power of the Spirit with saving fruits, even heaven is in movement. Great news. The sinner repent. A man goes over from death into life. The kingdom of God is extended. A heavenly joy in the hearts of the angels. When you are crying, oh Lord, oh Lord. That causes joy in heaven. There is a unity between heaven and earth. Much more than we often consider. So the Lord gives his command, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that command is obeyed, is done till now, till the end of the world. Teach, it can be translated, and it is often translated also by the expression, make them disciples of me. That's not a human work, of course. That's a divine work. By the divine power of the Holy Spirit, accompanying the preaching of the gospel. And this mighty command is embedded between these two precious words. Unto me is given all power in heaven and in earth. And we heard it this morning. And that power comes by the Holy Spirit in the heart of all true believers, Christ in us, and we in him. And therefore we are in Christ and by Christ more than conquerors. Nobody can overcome us. I have overcome the world. We seem to be the weakest. We don't take revenge. We don't defend ourselves. We pray when we are cursed. We love when we are hated. That's the way of Christ. That's the way of the victory. That's the way of the heavenly kingdom. That's the way of the King. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And that's the power, the hidden power, the irresistible power. Unto me is given all power. With that power, you can go out. You can do what you have to do. You can fulfill His command. And then the Lord conclude this portion with this comforting word. And lo, don't forget. Think about it all the time. Live out of it. Live with it. Let it be in your heart. Let it fill your life. Lo, when you read it in the Bible, it draws your attention. Never, never forget. Not a moment, not a second. Lo, let your eye fixed on it. Let your heart filled with it. That's the meaning of lo, behold. It's so true. It's so special. It's so precious. And it takes away your comfort, your hope, when you forget. When you think I'm alone. When you are a true believer. You are never alone. Never. And you shall never be alone. When you are not a true believer, then you are alone. You have only your own. Yes, but I have my family. I have a lot of relations and friends. I have a happy life with them. Very shortly. And then you are alone. I think one of the most terrible things, among others, in hell, is that people shall be alone. It can happen here that people can commit suicide. And I more than once met people in my ministry who were tempted to do it. Why? Pastor, I'm alone. There's nobody who loves me. Nobody. That's hard. You know, the jail ministry has the name the Forgotten Man Ministry. And I'm in contact with several men. And I'm the only human being with which they have contact. That's hard. A sinner is basically alone. May you have not a real, loving, eternal relation with God. And when you are seeking yourself in all what you do, then you come at the end only to yourself alone. That's terrible. But the Lord's people is never alone. Oh, we can feel it. And we hear the cries of God's children out of the Bible. Lord, where art thou? When I'm looking forward, I don't see thee. When I'm looking backward, I cannot see thee. Are they alone? Not at all. That crying for the Lord. They cannot miss him. They're looking for him. That's the sure proof that the Holy Spirit is working and living in their hearts. And then always there are the moments again that they can say by grace, I know my Redeemer liveth, and my eye shall see him. Lo, that's a precious word. Let the Lord's people never forget it. These precious last words of this wonderful gospel. I am with you. We have to consider first, of course we know, but to meditate, to think deeper about it, who is he who is saying and promising this? Then a father says to his child, painful, hurted, be quiet, my dear child. Father is with you. Dad, don't go away. No, I don't go away. He's dead. A stranger cannot take that place, isn't it? When that child, the same child, had no body, and a strange man should enter the room, then fear increased, began to cry. It's very important, the person, that you know the person, that you have the true loving relation with this person. And that's the high, wonderful privilege of every true believer. That's the only comfort, to belong to him, to belong to his body, to be united with him, with bounds of eternal love. It's God himself, the eternal creator of heaven and earth. God manifested in our flesh. Unto me is given all power. I am with you. Who can then be against you? What can then happen with you? When this comes deep in your heart, Christ, risen Christ, he conquered death and hell. He took away all my sins on the cross. He loves me with an eternal, unchangeable love. I hope you feel it. The greatness of this wonderful bridegroom who is saying it. The bridegroom can say to his bride, I love you so much. Nobody else can say that in this way. Only the bridegroom. And that what he is saying makes her so happy. So happy. No other man can say it. No other man can make her happy. When a strange man should come to her and should say, I love you. Woo! But when her bridegroom is saying, I love you. I am with you. I stay with you. Life long? No. An eternity long. It's the eternal God. It's the eternal Father. Isaiah 9. That's his name. It's the eternal Redeemer. It's the eternal Bridegroom. All power has he in heaven and earth. And I am with you. It's unspeakable. It must enter deep in our heart. The reality of this wonderful word at the end of this precious gospel. When does the Lord say it? Well, he is on the point to go to heaven. These are one of his last words. And the last words are very precious. Most of the time when you hear the last word of a beloved one, that word is staying in your heart the rest of your life. The last words of your dear father, how precious can they be? Especially when they are a witness of living hope. It's a comfort in the loss you suffer. When your father, his last words by example were, "My dying is gain. I'm longing to my Savior." Now you feel the pain of his loss, and all the time that word is there too. His last word, comforting you. These last words of the Savior are so precious. What you suffer, what trouble you can have, what disappointments, let it word always be in you and with you. Who leaves you? Who hurts you? Who hates you? Lo, I am with you. To whom is the Lord is speaking? Not to everybody. There is a separation in this world. For this rich, precious word is the Lord speaking to his own true disciples. Nobody else. To his people. And it's one of the two, my dear flock. We belong to it by grace or not. And also in our midst, we must be honest. There came visible a separation. And I know that there can come to the table who ought not to be there. I know. And that there can keep back in their bench and their heart is with the Lord. I know. It's not the table itself which makes the sure separation, but it makes always some things visible of the great separation. It's not now visible. We are here together, belonging to Christ. To us come this word. Lo, I, the eternal Son of God, who came in your flesh, who died in your place at the cross, who took away all your sins, I am with you. But when we don't belong still to his disciples, that's the most terrible thing on earth. You have all reason to repent, to have a deep sorrow in your soul. It's an expression of one of our old Dutch divines. What must they do who were not allowed to attend the Lord's table? Father Brakel, And he says, let they stand at the backside of the church, weeping, weeping. That's what Father Brakel is saying. It's so horrible. It's so terrible to be unconverted. It's so horrible to continue in unbelief, to reject Christ. That's so awful. I hope you feel that. Nothing is more bad in your life than unbelief. And Christ is still calling. He still breathes to you. Come unto me. All the ends of the world. His invitation is so loving. There is such a room for a sinner. What you did, what you are, come. That's his word now. But there comes a time that you don't obey, that you shall hear, go away. Too late. Alone. Christ is speaking this to his true church, to his disciples. They are really privileged. It's grace only. 100%. And that's what he experienced. That's what he believed. It's grace only. I never sought him, but he sought me. I never should go to him, but he drew me. All the glory is only for him. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Wonderful word, that our salvation is sure, not in our choice and work and love and feelings, but in the eternal, unchangeable love of Christ. I have chosen you. That's what he said to his disciples. Also now. And how is then the Lord with his church? With his divine majesty. So are we taught in our precious catechism. In the fullness of his divine majesty, might, power, and glory. But you cannot see that. Of course. Of course. I agree, my young people. You cannot see that with your physical eyes. People didn't see it when Jesus was in the world. They rejected him. They crucified him. They argued with him. They slandered him. That's what people did. But his disciples sometimes cried out, who is this? Who is this? That also the winds and the waves obey him. And one after one of his miracles, Peter cried out, Lord, go out of me. I'm a sinful man. And deeply impressed. But that are the eyes of faith. And that's still the same now. And the Lord opened your eyes for the divine majesty, glory and power of your Savior. Then you have such a rest. And then you have such a joy. Then you are assured in him for life and death. For time and eternity, I, with my divine majesty, with my irresistible power, no limits, all things are possible unto them who believe. How is the Lord Jesus with his people? With his grace. So we are taught by our catechism, with his grace. And grace means literally love, loving kindness, goodness. The feeling of his deep, tender love and compassion. And that has two sides. For grace is also the expression of our relation with Christ. He is with his church, with his grace, teaches our catechism. That means he loves us and we love him. We are united with him. We belong to him. We are in the state of grace, not longer in the state of nature. We went over. That's what you professed when you came to the table, that you may share in his grace. But grace means also the feeling of that love, the reality of it. His loving kindness as a sweet and deep reality, as a wonderful comfort in your soul. And therefore the Lord gives us his word, but also his Holy Supper, when he wants to let it taste us, to let it deep feel us. I loved you so much that I came for you from heaven, that I left aside my divine glory, that I took my human nature. I love you so much that I went for you to the hell. I hang on the cross and suffered all the pains of hell to deliver you with my grace. And the Holy Spirit makes that grace a deep reality. It's wonderful when the Lord Jesus came in the midst of his disciples on the day of resurrection and 8 days after on, that he several times said to them, "Peace be unto you." And also that has the side of our relation, the relation of peace, opposite of war. But it is also the expression of the feeling of it. They were full of fear. The doors were closed. And I was there the Savior. And he says, "Peace be unto you. Lo, I am with you, with my grace, with my peace, with my loving kindness." And he never changes. His feelings never change. We are so changeable, but he not. And we see that in our third point, all the days. Always, all the time. And so the Lord is with you, with his Spirit. For so is it beautifully explained, you remember, in our catechism, that the Lord is with his people, with his divine majesty, with his grace, and with his Spirit. And that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is dwelling in you, is teaching you, is convicting you, is comforting you, is revealing Christ more and more in your hearts, leads you in all the truth. Oh, that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, what a word of comfort for the Lord's people. Lo, I, that great I, with my divine majesty, with my all-sufficient grace, and with my Holy Spirit, I am with you. So the Lord is with his people in all their troubles, in all their pains, in all their loneliness, in all their temptations. Never, never are you alone. Now in the second place, we consider how the Lord is not with his people. Maybe you think that's a little bit strange to have this point, for it seems a little bit to be the opposite of what the Lord is promising. But it must be our desire to understand the right meaning of the words of Christ. For the Lord Jesus is speaking these words just before the time that he shall ascend to heaven, that he shall to leave them. And you know how the disciples were against it, were opposed it. And the Lord spoke about leaving. They couldn't think about it. Shall never happen. They couldn't miss him. And when he ascended, they returned to Jerusalem, his heart filled with joy. Because this precious word filled their hearts. Lo, I am with you. Not regarding my human nature. For with his human nature, the Lord is with his people in heaven. Not here. But that's also a great, wonderful comfort for the Lord's people to consider and to meditate upon the place of the Lord Jesus and the work of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus in heaven. I emphasized that last week and also this morning that we must lift up our hearts to heaven. You remember it last week, that I emphasized it rather strong. That can enrich and increase our joy, our hope in our daily life. When our walk is more in heaven and our thoughts and desires are more there where Christ is. And you know the Lord Jesus teach us too what he's doing there. Lo, I am with you always. But his human nature is at the right hand of the Father. And out from out heaven he is ruling and reigning everything. The nations of the world. What happens in nature? So often the last time we hear it, isn't it? Let us notice it. Earthquakes. Nearly every week. Haiti, China, Indonesia, Chile. Nearly weekly. And now the whole northern part of Europe cannot use any plane. Volcanic eruption. The Lord shows his might and the weakness of man. The man so mighty is nothing. Unto me is given all power. He is ruling and reigning all things, sitting at the right hand of the Father. For we can never think about a separation between his divine nature and his human nature. And our catechism explains us so beautifully that the human nature of Christ is in heaven, but always united with his divine nature, which is everywhere, which fills everything. How great art thou? Our hearts must be filled with the greatness of Christ. There he is ruling. And what gives that a rest? Not only the ways of the nations, but also in every personal life. All what happens in our life. All temptations, all trials, all disasters, all pains, all sickness. Nothing by chance, but all out of his hands. The loving, almighty Savior, who is reigning and ruling everything, Don't fear. Lo, I am with you. I am with you. The Almighty King. And there, he is ready and working to prepare a place for you. For we cannot stay here. And we are not willing to stay here. The more we experience of the love of Christ as a reality, the more our hearts are going out there where our treasure is, the stronger the love is growing, the more intensively becomes the desire to the day of our marriage, the day of our release. I prepare a place for you. Lo, I am with you, also in heaven. I'm working for you, preparing a place for you, so that you shall be where I am. So not physically here, but physically and divine, in heaven united. And with his divine majesty, grace and Holy Spirit here in the hearts and the lives of his true disciples, his happy people. And then in the third place, we consider also how long. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The word always must be literally translated every day, all the days. In the Dutch Statenbijbel, it's translated with all the days, every day. There shall never be a moment that I am not with you in the days. Is that possible? That you wander away of the Lord? That you fall in awful sins? Yes. When we read the life of the Lord's people in God's word, we see how that happened. All things, no excuse for any sin. Understand me well. Sin is and stays awful, horrible. There is no excuse. But yet, when the Lord's people wandered far away and fell deeply, the Lord never left them. On the bottom of their soul, is there a cry, O Lord, O Lord? The Lord sent his messenger. You are that man. The heart is breaking. And David is returning to the Lord. Give me again the joy of thy salvation. That's a great comfort. The Lord's people can fall deeply, but it take never away the power and the truth of this precious promise. I am with you. That means I shall never leave you. I shall never forsake you. And when you are wandering away, I shall always seek you as a lost sheep. Take you on my shoulders and bring you back to my flock. For nobody can separate you from my love. For my love is an unchangeable, everlasting, perfect love. And to see that, that's real comforting. Of course, it must be our desire to keep close to the Lord, to keep far away from sin. And that's the desire and the prayer of every true believer, understand me well. But at the other side, we see so often, and when we think that we stand, we are close to our fall. For there's nothing in us, only sin, inclined to all evil. And the more we think we shall not do it, the closer we are to do it. O Lord, give us to know ourselves. But the Lord keeps faithful in the days of our deep losses, when we must lose our children, our parents, our husband, our beloved ones. What a pain, what an emptiness, what a loneliness. And then this precious promise, lo, I am with you all the days, also the days of your deepest sorrows, of your unbearable pains. What happens? What's your loss? I am with you, with my grace, with my comfort, with my nearness. And how many witnesses are known of the Lord's people that they really experience that. The comfort, the nearness of the Lord, the hope on Him. Also in the loss of dear ones, how wonderfully does the Lord comfort His people. Also when we have a good hope by grace, and when we may believe that we are only for a short time separated and shall be together into all eternity, not as husband and wife, not as parents and children, that's all gone, but as brothers and sisters, as members of the true body of Christ, united with Him into all eternity. That's a comfort which the world doesn't know and never can give. How poor are the funerals of the ungodly, and how rich can be the funerals of the Lord's people. The funeral, by the grace and the love of Christ and the power of this word, turned in a marriage. Lo, I am with you always, always. No day in which the Lord is not with you. What happens? Let that be your comfort. Let that stay and live in you, children of God. And let it make you wholly jealous, ye who doesn't really know the Lord still. See the happiness of the Lord's people. Let it be an admonishing to come to Christ, to rely on Him, to flee to Him. Oh Lord, give that great happiness, that great wonder also to me out of His fullness. He's willing. He's mighty. You've all reason to hope. Not in yourself, but in Him. The living hope, which never makes us ashamed. Lo, I am with you all the days, always. Also your last day. Do you think, my dear flock, at your last day? We all are on the way to our last day. I am with you. When eternity is close, and your life here is behind you, and the Lord is with you in your last moments, when heaven is opened for you, and you enter eternal glory, and you are with Christ, what can be compared with that? That must be the goal of our life. That must be the hope of our life. how short is our time here, and how soon shall we be on our last day, and then to experience this precious word, I am with you. And now you are ready, prepared for the prepared place in heavenly glory. Enter eternal life, eternal joy, eternal praise. And this promise is also precious when we consider the last day of this world. I am with you all the days, always, in more than one sight, of course. For we know, out of the word, that the time preceding at the coming of the Lord Jesus shall be a very hard time for the living church of the living God. And when you followed the week service, some weeks ago you heard it, that the world shall be glad when the witnesses of Christ are dead on the street. No witness, no gospel, no people who are hurting them, warning them for eternal wrath. Everybody goes to heaven. False religion. A hard time for the church. When the Son of Man is coming, shall he find faith on the earth? It shall be as in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, wedding, and not more. And then the ark was closed. It was too late. But the church was inside, saved. And the ark is Christ. When you are in Christ, you are so safe. You have to suffer a lot. You have to fight your whole life against your deadly enemies, inwardly, outwardly. The world shall hate you. You shall never can find your life here, but your life is hidden with Christ in God, and your future is assured in his eternal love. And then on that great day, the last day of this world, then the fullness of this word and promise shall appear for all God's people. I am with you. When the graves are opened and your body shall arise and you shall be as Christ. Christ came when the doors were shut. No limit, no walls, no distance, no time. No eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, no heart can imagine what God has prepared for his people when we are raised from the dead, conformable to his glorified body, united with our perfect soul. And when the holy angels gather us on that last day, a long day, a day on which never shall follow a night for the Lord's people, when the holy angels gather the elect and we are taken up to Christ, sitting in his throne with him, I am with you. And then he shall acknowledge us as his own people, and we shall judge the world. How can understand? Don't try. Believe and be comforted. It's the truth. In a way which we cannot comprehend now, but the Lord shall fulfill all his precious promises. At the other side, when his people shall hear on that last day, I am with you also this day, the day which shall never end. And then all the other ones shall hear, go away from me, you workers of iniquity. You was not willing. You have not wanted that I should be king over you. Away with you. That's the other side. And therefore we are warned and we are admonished. We cannot miss Christ. We can miss everybody. We can miss everything. But we cannot miss him and his saving grace. And therefore seek him. It's his own promise. They who seek him shall find him. It's his own promise. Knock, and you shall be opened. It's his own command. Seek ye the Lord, and he shall be found of thee. Let that be our desire, to seek him, to be in his nearness, to live out of his fullness, out of his word, and to enjoy the power of this precious promise. Then we can go farther in our way of life, in all temptations, in all what's coming. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the world. Amen. It's sure. It's eternal, divine, sure. Amen. Let us think and pray now. O dear Lord, for the reason we have to thank thy holy name, for all the blessings of this holy day, that thou enabled us to preach and to minister thy love, revealed in thy broken body, in thy blood shed, the full redemption and satisfaction for all thy people. And Lord, give us all the grace that we hunger and thirst, that we eat and drink. And the more we eat and drink, the more we shall hunger and thirst, till we are there, where we shall never hunger, but have eternal satisfaction in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. O Lord, work mightily in the hearts of each of us, that we all shall feel how terrible and awful our unbelief is, how terrible, endless terrible to be unconverted, and that we cannot stay in it, not one moment, and that thy people may be refreshed and comforted, and let this word, these precious words, all power unto thee, I am with you always. Go with us. Stay in our hearts. Work in our lives. And comfort and strengthen us every day. In all our circumstances. In all our tribulations. Dear Lord, all things are possible with thee. We ask everything. In the pardoning of all our sins. For our most holy actions and deeds needs the blood. O dear Lord Jesus, pray for us, pray in us, and cover us, and make us ready, each of us, for thy coming, and make us longing for thy coming. We ask it only for grace. Amen.